Before I will start with what I have written in front of me, in the Jewish world, when we're doing something for the first time, or if it's a happy occasion, or if it's an important occasion, we have a special blessing for this moment, Birkat Shehechiyanu. And for me, coming from Israel, taking part of this special occasion, it's the first time to be in the same room with so many people who really cares about interfaith, who are coming from the Jewish, the Christian, the Muslim, the Buddhist world, however you want to define yourself. And the only thing that I can pray, that I can wish for, is that we'll be able to do the same conference in Israel as soon as possible. I think that this is what we need the most right now in the Middle East. So the blessing is Baruch Ata Adonai Eloheinu Melech HaOlam Shehechiyanu VeKiyamanu VeHigiyanu LaZman HaZeh. So I would like to thank you for the opportunity to be here. The Jewish story doesn't start with heroism. We don't have we didn't conquer Troy. We don't have Jason and the Argonauts. We don't have stories of bravery in the Jewish world. The Jewish ethos starts with people who were slaves in Egypt and found their way 40 years in the desert to a strange land to rebuild their identity, their nationality, their religion, all from new. And Judaism starts with this ethos to remind us over and over again throughout the Bible. 68 times we are commanded to remember that we were slaves in the house of Pharaoh. This is how the Jewish ethos starts. The second commandment that will occur so many times is this little phrase saying one law. There will be only one law for you and for the other nations among you, among the Jewish nation, among the Israelites. Emphasizing those two mitzvot, those two commandments, many, many more times than the others, say something not only about us as being Jews, but also about us as being part of the human race. And I think that this is where it all starts. To remind ourselves that we are humans, all of us. The Jewish perspective of compassion is very realistic. We know that we are not perfect. This is why we have Yom Kippur. Yom Kippur is to stand in front of God saying, God, we're not perfect. Please forgive us. But we only have one day a year to do that, to stand in front of God. But to stand in front of each other, we have 40 days. The whole month of Av Elul, the whole month of Elul, the last month in the Hebrew calendar. And then we have another 10 days between the beginning of the new year to Yom Kippur, to the day that we stand in front of God. And there's a real question. Why do we only have one day to stand in front of the Almighty, the Eternal One, and 40 days to face our friends, to say, I'm sorry, I was wrong. I'm sorry that I hurt you. And one of the reasons is that when we are facing God, we need to face ourselves. And we do it every day, every minute, every hour. And Yom Kippur, the day that we are talking to God, is a mirror, but a very bright one, saying, this is what we do every day. This is what we are, This is who we want to be. And on this special day, we try to narrow the gap between the two. On the other 40 days, we don't need to address ourselves only. We also need to think about the person that we offended. And let's say that I came to someone and I said, look, I'm really, really sorry for what I've done 6 months ago. And the person will say, with all the respect, I know that you want to feel good with yourself, but you hurt me. I don't want to see you. I don't want to talk to you. I don't want to have anything with you. What do you do then? And the Jewish answer will be to come again for the second time. And let's say that he's still offended. Then you come for the third time. And on the third time, this guy will understand, maybe, that you're not asking his forgiveness just because you want to feel good. It's not a good feeling coming the first or the second or the third time. But it means that this person is really important for you. Not the forgiveness, the person himself or herself. But it is also there to remind us that they need our forgiveness as well. I know what it's like to be on the side that is asking the forgiveness. So it is there to remind us that as well. That's part of compassion. It's a huge subject and I will not try to summarize it. I just want to give a few different angles of the subject in the Jewish world. A different perspective, the one that I like the most, it happened about 60 years ago in the mid 20th century in the USA at Salem. There was a march of Afro-Americans, Martin Luther King, and next to him, walking on this parade, how do you call it? Walk? March? On this march, right next to Martin Luther King, was Rabbi Avraham Yehoshua Heschel, walking with a Torah scroll in his hand. And one of the reporters came and asked him, what does a Jewish rabbi have to do in an Afro-American protest? And he said, today we are praying with our legs. We need to remember where we came from. We were slaves. Freedom is not something that we take for granted. And if it means that we need to pay a price for standing up to someone else's rights, then we need to do it. Because we were there before. We can appreciate what it means to be free. And it's not only in what we do in day-to-day life. It's not only something that we pray for in shul. It's also something that we keep on reminding ourselves on a weekly basis, whether if it's when we are welcoming the Shabbat in the Kiddush, Zecher Letziat Mitzrayim, it's a reminder that we left Egypt. Whenever we drink wine, a symbol of happiness, we remind ourselves that we were slaves. And today we can enjoy this cup of wine. And if I'm talking about the cup of happiness, the cup of wine, on Pesach, Passover, we read the story about the Israelites leaving Egypt. And then we read about the Ten Commandments. The Ten Plagues. Plagues? Plagues? And each time we say the names of those horrible things that happened to the Egyptians, we dip our finger in the cup of wine and we spill a little wine on the tablecloth. Now we don't do it so our grandmother will get all angry and everyone will have fun. Okay? We do it to remind ourselves that we are not happy for the suffering of other people. We're happy for our freedom, but we take a little wine out of our cup, saying that we're diminishing the happiness of our family to remember, to sympathize with what the Egyptians were going through. A different angle about compassion in the Jewish world. There's a story about Rabbi Meir. The story took place about 1600 years ago in Babylon, Iraq today. And Rabbi Meir was a small guy, a skinny small guy. And each day when he came back home from work, there were a few youngsters, a gang, waiting for him outside of his house and bullying him. And one day he just had enough. And he said, "Look, enough is enough." And he came running back home, closed the door behind him and said to his wife, "I wish that all those evil people will perish from the earth." And his wife smiled and said, "Well, take a deep breath, remember where you came from, and what is your mission here?" In the Jewish world, we're not praying for evil people to perish. We're praying for evil deeds to perish from the earth. So it's up to you to teach them better, to bring them closer to what you think is the right way of conduct, the right ethics, the right way to treat people. And according to the story, it took him about 37 years to work with this gang. But when he died, 12,000 people, their friends and their friend friends, and all the gangs that everyone were afraid of, was in his funeral saying, "No one will address us as human beings now that he's gone." So it's not only an educational act toward those people, it's not only showing them compassion, it's also teaching compassion to other leaders, to other people in the congregation. Another aspect, is about lists. In Judaism, we have about four or five lists saying what God expects from us. One is in the book of Micha. It's a very short one, saying, "Asot mishpat ve'avat chesed ve'atzna lechet im Elohecha." Justice should be right. Asot mishpat ve'avat chesed elav. Love kindness. Okay. And atzna lechet im Elohecha, be modest about what you do. Don't do it because someone expects you to do it or in order to gain coupons in the world to come. Do it because you believe that this is the right thing to do. It's a very short list. The others are a little longer, and I will not translate them to English, but what's interesting about those lists, that none of them talks about worshipping. None of them talk about praying. None of them talks about holidays or the way that we are practicing our holidays or practicing our religion. All of them talks about the way that we treat each other. This is what God is emphasizing, saying these are the deeds that you're doing this world and you're taking with you to the world to come. The last story that I would like to tell you, and I will conclude with it, is about a father that was about to pass away. And he called his children next to his bed saying, "Look, I left a will with my lawyer. And after I'm gone, please go to the lawyer and see what was my last request. Now, this guy was very wealthy. A lot of property, a lot of money, a lot of friends, on the news, on the papers, a celebrity. The day came and he died. And the children went to the lawyer and the lawyer opened the envelope saying, your father's last request was to be buried with his red socks. Now, you are not aware, some of you are not aware, that in Judaism, you're not allowed to be buried with anything. Only with white shrub. That's it. So they came to the funeral home asking them, please let us put our father's red socks on his feet so we can take it with him. And they refused. And they were begging and crying and asking, but the answer was, with all the respect, we cannot. So the children were very sad. This person was buried. And 2 days later, the lawyer came knocking on the door with an envelope, the second envelope. And inside this envelope, it was written, my dear children, now you see that you can't take even your red socks with you to the next world. The only thing that you can take is your reputation. And I think that this is the essence, if we're talking about compassion in the Jewish world, to remember the first word that we say when we wake up in the morning, when we pray, is Mode ani lefanecha. We are grateful for what we have. Mode ani. We are reborn every day. But we also remind ourselves that it can be our last day here. And each one came to this world with a mission, with something to fulfill, something to do, to heal in the world. We don't know what it is. So we need to do our best in our abilities, because we don't know what our mission is. And there's a saying, לא עליך המלאכה לגמור ואין אתה בן חורין להיבטל ממנה. I will try to translate it the best I can to English. It is not for you to complete the work, but nor are you free to desist from it. So, acting in a compassionate way, it's not about putting a little band-aid and looking to the other way. It's about adding our little drop to this huge bucket that we call the world, humanity. And if you will take a drop of water and put it in a bucket of ink, it will disappear. But if you will take a drop of ink and put it in a bucket of water, the water will change their color. By being compassionate, by doing what we are expected to do on a humane basis, we are adding one drop of ink at a time to the bucket. So we are dropping this Jewish drop of ink, and someone else is dropping the Buddhist drop of ink, and someone else is dropping a different kind of ink into to this bucket. But in the end, we can change the world, a drop by drop. It is not to us to complete the work, but we cannot stand aside and let someone else do it for us. Thank you.